right, y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your host, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is one of your hosts, Mr. David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark Inc., promoter, marketing specialist, and also all-around good guy. I'm hanging out with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. What's going on, sir?
Hey, everything's good. This is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guide, DelawareBlack.com, black media specialist, and all-around good guy. How goes it, David?
It's going, man. I was listening to everybody talking about how hot it was out today. I was, thank God for air conditioning. I'm in the building all day long, free air conditioning, you know what I mean? So everybody was going, went outside saying, man, it's hot out there, man. So were you out in the heat today?
Yeah, you know, truthfully, it didn't feel that hot to me. But what I did notice when I got in the car, it took like, it almost took driving like 10 minutes for me to like feel the air. You know, sometimes you get in, you feel the air right away. I'll drive for like 10 minutes and I was like, okay, please don't let this air, you know, air conditioner go on.
I know, because that's what you'd be thinking about. You'd be worried that your air is not working right. Yeah, you know, so, and I love you know, you get in a car and it's so hot, it takes your breath away when you get inside and you'd be like, oh my God, you know, so. You know, and you roll the windows down, waiting on the air to come. Like, that's not good. But it's not too bad out right now. There's a little breeze blowing. You know, it's not too good, too bad, too hot out here. Did you do anything over the weekend? I know it was pretty warm weekend too.
Dave, the weekend exhausted me. You know, these kids that we be having better have a good ROI, a good return on income. So, I mean, you know, of course, I was telling you, I can't remember what happened on Friday. Damn, you know, something happened on Friday. But anyway, Saturday, I was at a swim meet from literally 7:45 a.m. to about 12:45. And then I was at a track meet from about 1:15 till like 6-7 o'clock. So Saturday exhausted. And there was something that happened Friday. It's just not coming to my mind. But yeah, so long and short, busy weekend, you know, came off the weekend tired. But, you know, I guess that's parenting life.
Yeah, that's normally what happens. You know, when you have to play, you know, Big Papa and everything, you know. Those days, I'm so glad I ain't got to go through anymore, man. But you still can be exhausted from a lot of the stuff that you do over the weekend. I know I didn't really do anything. Well, I work Saturday. I've been working every Saturday for the last 3 weeks.
Right.
And so that keeps, you know, I was busy with that. And then went to church on Sunday. I mean, I didn't do anything out of the usual. Got to watch a lot of the track and field over the weekend. Now, you talk about track and field.
That was
really cool watching the World Championships.
They had some great races.
They had some great races, man. There was some controversial races out there, you know, people pushing people, people there. I said, that racing, man, they, when they be, especially those distance runners, when they be moving from positions, they're treacherous, man, you know.
They are. And you know, probably most of the stuff we don't see unless something happens and they go. But you know what's so crazy? So when I watched that race the second time, it was the women's 1500.
The second time
before, and it was so odd. So the second time before the girl fell down, before the white girl pushed the black girl down, the commentator was like, oh, they're doing a little bit of pushing over. You know, and it was so funny because it's like, okay, how do you even know that?
But you saw the girl. Look, it's funny how we always start to say black or white because you said the white
girl. Right. Yeah, white exactly. We got to stir it up.
Yeah, you got to stir it up, you know. So, but what happened was, you know, the one, you know, they were jockeying for a position. And you see her name is Sabatini. Sabatini, this, you know, kind of throw a little elbow at her first time and say, okay, you're getting too close, you know? And then, cause she's trying to, you know, she's trying to get up because Sabatini's trying to finish in that top five.
Yeah.
And she was in the top five at that moment. So then the girl starts trying to come back over again. And Sabatini said, okay, all right. And she just took that arm and just pushed her all the way over. And all of a sudden you see the girl just start gliding to the left there, you know? And it was crazy. But I just didn't think that she, when she went down, I thought she went down a lot harder than she did. Looked like she just went down on her own because she kind of lost her balance a little bit. And she was just like, you can hear her, like, you see everybody finish the finish line. And you know, you see the focus is on the winner and the people standing there at the finish line. And you can hear her hollering in the background all the way up the track, you know, and I'm like,
she and they finally flash on her.
And she's up there screaming. It was almost like she's saying, why? You know, and she's banging on the ground. I was like, is she really that hurt? And then you see her get up and she's walking away. She's got that walk of shame going on. Yeah. You know,
right? I mean, you know, she was walking like she had an injury or something because, you know, hands up and then, like, you know, arm on the shoulder, like, but, like she caught a cramp.
I don't think she was hurt, Leonard. That's the way she went down.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, you know, even when I watched it last time, I'm like, okay, like, she did an acting job on that fall. Like, yes, there was some contact made.
I think she was trying to get the girl, you know, she was trying to get her disqualified. That's what it was. I think, you know, because they were worried about, because if you saw Sabatini's reaction afterwards, she was crying. Did you see her crying?
No.
Yeah, she started crying because she just felt so bad about the whole situation. And she started crying because, and I think she was fearful they were going to DQ her, you know.
Right.
So, you know.
But she didn't finish top five anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
She finished like sixth. Okay. Yeah, because the girl, because when that happened, she got thrown off her stride. She was in fifth.
Right.
But she got thrown off her stride and she got passed. You know,
gotcha.
So she didn't make the final. So that, and of course that could have been another reason she was crying as well. So but yeah, there's a lot of drama in the races. But of course, you know, nothing was crazier than that women's 100 though. Them girls, man, them Jamaican girls. Leonard, that's crazy how fast the girls run, man.
No, it is. Yeah. And how they just have been able to dominate for so long. Like,
yeah, it's like, you know, it's and they make it look so easy. And the what you call them? Where can I think of her name? The winner,
Shelly Fraser Price,
Shelly Ann Fraser Price. She's 35 years old, she ain't no spring chicken, you know,
as far as
track is concerned, and she's getting faster, you know.
And she had kids. Kids came back.
Yeah, she got a couple kids and everything. And she set that record. See, nobody had ever ran under 10.7 ever before. And she ran a 10.67.
No.
Slowed up at the tape. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they said Flojo. Her and Flojo are the only ones who ever ran under that mark.
Right. And oh, Flojo, that was my girl back in the day. So, it was great. And, of course, we got to give the men props because the men, the USA men, did their thing as well. You know, they took 1, 2, and 3 in the 100. You know, Fred Curley did his thing, even though I thought he was going to get beat there for a moment, you know.
Yeah, but, the other American dude. He was on him.
Yeah, he was on him. So. But anyway, so it was a good weekend as far as track and field and everything went. So. But here we are. It's Tuesday, another new week. I guess we can go ahead and get into our topics for today. So,
gotcha. Okay.
All right. So the story that's been heard around the world, you know, we're gonna start on
all streets and places.
Yeah, that's right. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Well, I don't know if I want to go there. Right
yeah,
now.
Exactly.
You know, we're not welcome.
Right.
You know, so the big story, of course, right now is the whole thing that happened at Sesame Street over the weekend. Apparently, for those who haven't seen the video, you know, there's a video that's circulating all over the internet about that was put out there by a mother who took her two daughters to Sesame Place, and, you know, her daughters, they actually were getting ready to leave. That's what's so crazy. They were getting ready to leave the park. They had been there all day. They were about to leave, and the parade was going on, and the girls wanted to see, you know, the characters come up the street, you know, as far as parade. And they see the characters coming up, and they see the one particular character, Rosita, who apparently they knew. You could tell by their faces, looked like they knew who she was.
Right.
And the young girls standing there watching Rosita come up the way. She's high-fiving and hugging, you know, some people along the way. When Rosita gets to her, I mean, gets to the two young girls that are standing there, Rosita looks at them and waves them off and says, not you guys, and keeps moving. Now, I'm like, when I saw the video, I was like, did she just wave them off?
Right.
And say, I'm not hugging you? And now, I told the story without the obvious backdrop to the story. The people that Rosita stopped to hug prior to these two little girls were white, or appeared to be white in the video. The two little girls were black. And it was definitely blatant when this character did not hug these two little girls. So, of course, the video hits national, it goes viral, it's all over the place. The mother's outraged. She's ready to, you know, she's ready. Matter of fact, you know, she already got a lawyer already.
I know,
you
know? Crazy. That's crazy.
And, you know, she's all over Instagram talking about, you know, what happened. She said that she talked, I'm gonna read something here. She said, I asked the lady who the character was, and I wanted to see a supervisor, and she told me she didn't know. So apparently they were trying to act like they didn't know who the character was at the time.
I'm sure.
Backlash swiftly followed after the video took off on social media, where others shared similar experiences and videos, and prompted Sesame Street Philadelphia to issue a statement on Instagram, on its Instagram account, in which it said it was not the character's intention to ignore the girl. So, obviously, this is not the first time this has happened. And then they try to give a little excuse. The costumes or performers wear sometimes make it difficult to see at lower levels, and sometimes a performance mishugs requests from guests. The statement said, this was not that. Not hardly, right? Because they saw them other people, right? It was very clear they saw those other people, right?
And Dave, okay. You know, I can honestly say when I saw the first video, I had a little bit of doubt too, because I was trying to see, okay, like what angle can this person see out of the costume? Because, you know, he may not always be looking down. So, like, I will say I did kind of have a little bit of doubt in there when I saw that. But when I saw the other videos, it was like, okay, you know, okay, nail video number two, black girls getting ignored, video number three, little black girls getting ignored, video number four, little. So, I do have a couple questions. So, like, would it change your, first, as you said, I also heard that the mother was getting a lawyer. What, let's say she does sue or looking for a settlement, how do you feel Sesame Street should compensate? I'm sorry. Before I say that, did you see the letter that Sesame Street sent out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, you know, of course, they invited her back to the park, a private meeting with all the characters, all that. Okay. So now let's backtrack. With her lawyer, what do you feel like she should pursue?
Well, I mean, it's definitely because when you were talking about how, you know, you wonder how much, I mean, how much they can see in those costumes and everything.
Right.
And how much, you know, how looking down and everything, you know. But this guy, whoever was in that costume, clearly saw those girls. There's no doubt in my mind. No way they didn't. Because just the way he or she reacted to the girls, that said that he knew those girls were reaching out for hugs or whatever, high fives or whatever. Okay. So, and you've seen the other videos. It's the same kind of stuff going on.
Right.
So as far as the lawyer and the mother, I would be asking for, you know, I would be asking for damages in reference to, what you call them?
Pain and suffering.
Yeah, pain and suffering and cruelty, you know, mental cruelty. Because we don't know how those girls really felt about it. They didn't, you know, we don't know. You saw their faces when they walked away.
Yeah.
You know, they were definitely confused and hurt, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, I would pain and suffering, you know, that type of thing. I'm sure they can get something for the Sesame Street. Really want the backlash? You know, do they really want that? They better hurry up and quickly get something together and do a settlement or whatever. They don't have to go to court, but I'm sure they're going to have to give up something, you know? It was just a very bad look. And we hear about stuff like this with a lot of these theme parks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Disney has had their problems over the years, too. And, you know, when you have these kind of things happen, you have to make sure that, you know, the training that these actors and these and the people playing these characters, you know, I know there's going to be some days that they're not going to be up, you know, especially in heat. Think about it. You know, you're in this costume. Yeah. In this costume, I know it's hot in that costume.
You got a bunch of little kids running around.
You got a bunch of little kids trying to get you to there. And, you know, of course, not all of them going to be nice kids. You're going to have some bad kids to be kicking you and stuff like that. You know, trying to get you to do stuff that you don't want to do. Yeah, so I can understand that. But this wasn't that situation. They were just standing there waiting on them that character to come. After the character enthusiastically hugged the people prior to them, and then just basically, look, that character might as well stuck his middle finger up at those girls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad. You got Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child who chimed in, and you could tell she was pretty upset, and she was like, you know, they want to do a personal meet and greet. She said, the damage is already done. What's that going to do? You know, what are they going to do? Close the park down, let the girls have the park to themselves? Okay.
So you don't think a personal meet and greet would make them feel any better?
We don't know if they're scarred already.
Yeah.
You know, they might be scared to even deal with any more of their characters anymore. Think about it. I mean, you know, I remember, like, my oldest son, I remember taking them to King's Dominion, and I never forget there was a character, one of their guys running around there at King's Dominion. It used to go greet the kids and whatever. My son was scared to death of that guy. You know, he would let him get close to him, you know. And I just, you know, when you got that type of situation, what if those girls feel the same way about this character, you know, and they go there to the park for meet and greet and whatever, that character comes up and they have flashbacks about how they felt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit of a disagreement because I feel like kids are resilient. And, you know, like I try to think about me, Dave, how many times did you go in a store and you saw something you really wanted? And you even picked it up and like brought up until line and you get to the register and your mom like put it back and then you have like a little tantrum.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, we ain't got to get up to the line. I remember trying to put stuff in the
right. So you know, I just say that to say, you know, granted, you know, I'm sure they felt a certain way about it, and then probably the how this went viral may make them remember longer. But I feel like, and I mean, I could be wrong. In fact, so this would really be when I'd be curious what our listening audience has to say. If Disney, I mean, Sesame Place set up a private meet and greet where the girls could come back and meet, like, let's say their favorite characters, would that rectify it with those girls? I mean, I personally
I don't
think
know
so.
If it would rectify. I don't know if it would rectify it with them. They'd probably be happy at that moment, but Is it all about the girls or is it about the mom?
Oh, well, I mean, the mom's definitely, you know, she's blowing it up. But you know,
yeah. So, you know, she gonna take, you know, she going for the juggler. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so. you know, that's even like when she got a lawyer. It's like, okay, I mean, how much is fair? I don't know. Well, if you had to put a dollar amount on what you think Sesame would make her as a settlement, just in general, like what would you say if it was financial?
I'd say $20,000 to $25,000. And a lifetime pass.
Gotcha. Okay.
If the girls, and, you know, just have it, and that's a lifetime family pass, not just the girls, the family pass.
Right.
But yeah, $20,000 to $25,000. I think that's because first of all, if they do anything less than that, if they try to give them $2,000, $3,000 or something like that, everybody's look. I'm waiting for a GoFundMe page to pop up. You know how these things go.
Yeah, they do.
You know? Yeah, I'm waiting on the GoFundMe page to pop up where somebody puts it up, you know, feeling bad for the girls and say, here, take them somewhere else. You know, get the money together, take them somewhere else, you know. But no, that's what I would say. What would you say?
I mean, I really don't know. Because, you know, I just think, okay, maybe they are, maybe they're not. Are these girls scarred? Was this more of a traumatic situation for, you know, little black girls than, you know, being told no in the store when you want to get your favorite doll? You know, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think Sesame Place needs to rectify the situation. I just don't know. I don't know what the norm would be. And
well, this is something that they have to do quickly too, Leonard. They can't wait too long. There's something they need to make. They need to make a decision and rectify it soon. Because the quicker they handle it, the better it will be for everybody.
Yeah, I do agree. In general, I think it's a shame because when stories like this come out, we always hear the initial, but and, you know, let's say the story with these girls traveled to like 500 million people, like saw this story. Whatever Sesame Street does to rectify it, it's probably going to go like 20,000 people. You know, it's like some people would never know the end result. But yeah. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting how they handle this. Now, you know, if this was the other way around, and it was, you know, because if that, you know, we find out that there was, if this was done to a white kid, and we know the person inside that costume was black, this would be a whole different story. It'd be riding in the HOV lane again. You know what I mean? So, we have to, it's a story that we definitely need to pay attention to and kind of see see how this goes, because I have a feeling if Sesame Street was smart, they get ahead of this and take care of it right away.
Right. And you know, to be honest, I think they're trying to, but since she already got a lawyer now, it's almost like, okay, let's sit back and get this demand.
It's not too late, because they can come out and say, hey, look, this is what we like to do. You know, throw some money their way, throw the passes their way, try to make everybody happy, and just keep it moving. Sesame Street, look, Sesame Street has a brand. It's a brand, and right. you know it's been around a long time. Did you? I told you about that documentary they did on Sesame Street on HBO. It was really good, Leonard. It was a really good documentary, and talking about behind the scenes, there was a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about, and so forth. And it was really deep about how they kept that show going all those years, and all that took to do that. How Jim Henson, who was who created most of the Muppets and everything, you know, he had so many mental issues, you know, but he was a father and he was trying to keep his family together. It was just a lot, man. It was deep, I'm telling you. So, but to be able to do everything that they were able to do, you know, and, but you know, they had a big controversy on the show where they had a black character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you, did you watch Sesame Street when you were coming up?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember the character Roosevelt Franklin?
I don't remember, but I remember reading the story afterwards and
Mr.
Rogers advocate. Oh, hold on. Never mind. I'm saying Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So I do remember a black character on there, but it's Bay.
Yeah, his name was Roosevelt Franklin. And he used to come on, he had this song and he said, "My name is Roosevelt Franklin." And he was real cool. And, you know, he always, matter of fact, Roosevelt Franklin was rapping back then. And people didn't know he was rapping, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So,
and but he was real popular, of course, with all the blacks and everything. And all of a sudden, he was on there for like a year or two, and all of a sudden, he just disappeared. Well, apparently, Sesame Street got a lot of pressure from the white audience saying that he was too black, and they needed to get rid of him, and they got rid of him. So, you know, and I just thought it was interesting because I always wondered what happened to him. And that's what happened to him because they folded. They didn't want to get rid of him because he was a very popular character.
Right.
But they did. They folded to public opinion. So, but hopefully Sesame Street wakes up and they're able to get this rectified. And because we don't want other people getting involved with this because the bigger the story gets, the more people are going to get involved. And I know they don't want that.
Right, right.
Yeah. So but we'll keep an eye on it. People, you are listening to News and Trends with Dave and Len. You have your opinions on the story. Please definitely feel free to go ahead and put your opinions, you know, comments out there in reference to that particular story and anything that you're hearing. Okay. We're going to move on to our next story. Mr. Leonard, what's the next story?
So the next story we have is a story that just kind of went viral probably over the weekend and the beginning of this week. And Dave, this one's happening in our home state of Delaware. But so the story, so it's actually a video that kind of went viral. And what the video shows is there was a Delaware officer, Newcastle County police officer, and it looks like, I'm not sure if they're in a jail, but it looks like some type of detention center. There's a video going around where this officer has a black teenage girl in handcuffs. So as he's walking with her, she either slips or falls down, kind of like on her stomach. So the officer is still holding on to her handcuffs, which are kind of behind her back and elevated. From that position, he drags her down this hallway. So she kind of face down, you know, hands up in the air behind her back, and he drags her down this 50-foot corridor of a hallway. The video just went viral, and pretty much the backstory of it is there's not any backstory on the teen and why she, you know, was kind of in their custody, but the backstory on the video. After an investigation last year, and then I guess just recently now, this officer was sentenced to 1 year of probation for repeatedly pulling on this 16-year-old girl's hair and dragging her up the hallway by her handcuffs while she's on her stomach. The officer, Michael Carnaval, pleaded guilty and also agreed never to seek any employment with any law enforcement in the future. He was also given 1 year probation. That probation gets waived after he does some anger management classes. So for anyone who saw the video, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. And a lot of people also have been talking about, so there's two or three other officers who are standing right near him as he's doing it. Nobody stops it. So a lot of people are also asking, well, you know, what happens to these people as well? But so I know, Dave, you got a chance to see the video today. So how do you feel? Do you feel 1 year probation is kind of light?
Why is it that every story we have comes down to the same thing? I mean, you know, when we get into these controversial stories, and I think you know where I'm going with that, you know, because for any of you guys that see the video, there's the obvious that stands out, you know, because not only is this girl dragged the way she's dragged. Now, keep in mind, Leonard didn't told you guys her hands are behind her back and he's pulling her as he walks alongside of her with her handcuffs up in the air. He could have broke her arms the way he was pulling her.
Right.
Okay. It almost, you know, is, and thank God, I guess, for what she had on, because she kind of slid across the floor, but he didn't seem to care. And the two officers that are right behind him, it's just strange to see their reaction. They're not doing anything to stop him. Like, it's okay. Now, we don't know what this girl was saying. We don't know what she was doing prior to this video. But she's black. The officers all appear to be white. He gets a year of probation. Now, this was after he left the force, right?
Yeah, so I think... when this originally happened last year, he was put on probably paid leave until this.
And then did he retire or something?
Yeah. So prior to this 4 day, he had retired.
Yeah, he retired. So he got out. I'm sure somebody said, "Hey, look, man, get out, get your stuff,
your pension, all that."
Yeah, get your stuff and get ahead of this, so that when the ruling come down, you all right. You ain't gonna lose anything other than, you know, a little bit of pride. And it's almost like the judge or whoever made the ruling, the decision to, that says that he can't, work for any law enforcement agency or do any type of police work or anything. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're begging him not to apply for those positions. You know what I mean? Right. Please don't apply for these positions, you know, that type of thing, you know. 1 year probation, no. We know, I'm tired of saying the same thing every week. Right? I really am. You know, what's your thought? I'm going to turn it back to you, because I have to, when I see stuff like this, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, I think it definitely is crazy. I'm not sure what the proper punishment is, but 1 year probation, it's pretty much nothing, because yourself as a law-abiding citizen, right? If somebody gave you 1 year probation, is that going to really do anything to you? I mean, like, you're not out here breaking.
No, yeah. Because what is he losing?
Nothing. He's retired.
Yeah, I mean, if he wanted to go to work, all he got to do is go someplace other than a job doing law enforcement or whatever. I'm sure he'll get a job if he probably already has one, you know. So and he's getting his pension and everything. So what did that 1 year of probation do for him?
Yeah, nothing.
And it's probably when did they say he got the probation?
So I think the court case was just recently, and I think that's why the video resurfaced.
Now, is it going is the 1 year probation going from the ruling on, or is it already over? You know what I'm saying?
No. So it probably goes from the ruling, because I believe that's when the judge handed out that verdict.
Okay.
But so, it also said that if he goes to anger management classes,
they
drop the probation.
I hope that young lady has a lawyer, because they might as well pull the gun out on her, because he probably would have got the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is just like all the stories we've been hearing about for the last, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Until the Floyd case, when somebody actually was found guilty or something, every time I hear something about defunding police, I always have to say to myself, I don't see how we could ever do something like that, because we need police. I mean, there's no way around that. We do need them. But when you see stuff like this, You kind of understand why people say it,
right?
I would never want to be somewhere where there were no police. Don't get me wrong, I would never want to be somewhere there was no police, but I don't want these type of police around me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely think it's having the right ones makes a difference. Plus, yeah, so, I was reading something, and, it was a crazy fact, and, don't quote me, but it said, 70, maybe 60, or somewhere between 40% and 60% of police officers have been, I won't say physically violent, but whether it's domestic violence at home or, some type of, assault or something outside of that.
Well, that's true, but I can attest for that to be wholeheartedly true, because I am the domestic violence coordinator in my building where I work. So if anybody comes in there and there's a domestic violence situation, I am the person that they talk to. And, if they're coming in to apply for benefits or whatever the case may be, I'm the person that they have to deal with. Nobody else can deal with them but me, because I have the training for that. Okay. So you'd be surprised, Leonard, how many of them have been cops that these women are running from.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've probably dealt with maybe 6 women. At least 6 women who were running cops and were fearful for their lives, because everything that they tried to do to stop it, because they were cops, they had the upper hand.
Right.
They always managed to find them, because they had the tools and everything to find them and all of that kind of stuff when they got away. So it's just real interesting. So when you said what you just said, yeah, that is true. It does. There's a lot of domestic violence going on with that. And the other community that's really high with domestic violence is the athletic community. Football players, basketball players, those type of things. There's a lot of, because of who they are and because of what they deal with and trying to live up to the hype and all of that kind of stuff, they take it out on their significant others a lot of times too. So,
yeah, I'm sure.
But this whole situation here is truly unbelievable. There again, it's just one of those situations where we definitely have to do better, and we definitely have to look at looking at the people that are policing our streets and policing our communities. I know a friend of mine posted a picture on Facebook a couple of days ago in these stories Now, these guys, you know, he's older than me. We grew up in the same neighborhood. He's older than me. I think he has me by 5 or 6 years. But I remember him, you know, very well as a cop. And I looked at the picture, and I knew a lot of the cops in that picture, you know. Mm-hmm. And those were the guys that everybody knew because they were always walking around the neighborhood. And you got a chance to talk to them. You got to know them. Some of them were truant officers, so they were in the schools. You know, so you had a relationship with these people. It's not that way anymore.
No.
You don't have those relationships. And, you know, some of these guys, they get these guns and they got all, they feel they got all that power. They go juice on, you know, like Tupac did the juice, you know, and you know, and they just feel that they got the power and they just talk to you any kind of way and they just make you feel any kind of way, you know? And those are the kind of cops that you have to worry about, you know, especially if they got an attitude or something like that. So, yeah. So it is what it is. And it's a shame to see this happen and that we're still dealing with these type of things. It seems like each and every day, really. And hopefully there's more done, you know, now that this video has gone viral, maybe there'll be more done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. So, I mean, of course, this video is from a year ago. So I'm sure they used this whenever he had his court case. But yeah, I mean, this video has made a lot of people upset. And clearly this didn't go viral before for whatever reason. But
yeah, well, you know, I think you know why it didn't go viral before.
Right.
Let's see if TMZ puts it on. You know, TMZ puts it out there. It's a wrap. You know, it's a wrap. So, you know, so. All right. Well, folks, you know, let us know what your thoughts on that. You know, what you think about it if you get a chance to see the video. Yeah, it's kind of hard to watch, you know, when you see that. So, so we're going to move on to our next story, you know, from one young person that, you know, was having their issues to a person that's doing very well. I came across a story about a young man. His name is Nehemiah Juniel. He is the youngest graduate of Sam Houston State University. This kid is only 15 years old. And I was reading the story and I was just fascinated. Young black male. I was just fascinated about his story. It says Juniel will receive his bachelor's degree in health sciences in August. He was a master pianist at 5 years old. He was doing pre-algebra and received his associate's of art degree at 13 years old. At 13.
Sorry, the computer messed up. Sorry about
that, folks. Leonard was pulling up the story, folks. And we got some music in the background as he was pulling up the story. So, but at 13 years old, he's got an associate of arts degree. Okay. His parents, you know, talk about how proud they are of him. Now, this kid was homeschooled by his parents along with his sister, who also will graduate ahead of schedule from the same college or university, I should say, in the fall. And she's 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And they, you know, they talk about how the word can't was like a curse word in their house. There was no can't. You know, they were not going to let those kids, you know, not believe that they can do whatever they wanted to do. Apparently Sam Houston State wanted them so bad that they worked out the financial things, financial aid and all the financial responsibilities to get these kids in there. And they got in there and they did what they wanted, you know, they did what they had to do. Now, Nehemiah admits that the educational journey so far has been met with great challenges. He said that the biggest challenge was staying focused. It was especially difficult when the course material was uninteresting or was something he already knew. This kid's only 15 years old. Right. Think about this. Something he already knew.
Less. Yeah.
Okay. He said he often needed encouragement from others to put effort in such work before I put myself back on track again. He said my professors and teaching assistants were the most positive aspects of my experience at Sam Houston State. So guess what he's studying to be?
Cardiologist.
Oh, yeah, you read that. You didn't get that. So anyway. So this dude trying to be, he's going to be a doctor. He's probably going to be one of the youngest doctors ever, you know. He's studying to be a cardiologist. He's getting ready to go back to school. I mean, and when he was homeschooled, they didn't homeschool according to grades. You know, when they felt, you know, he had learned everything he needed to learn, they moved him on.
Oh, wow.
You know, so. You know, him and his sister. So it's really a fascinating thing. Now, I don't know, do you know anything about homeschooling?
A little bit.
Did you do it at all? Or?
No, I never did it, but when I worked for the school system during marketing, there were some students who, you know, did homeschool.
Yeah, we homeschooled my oldest son almost 3 years. He was having some issues in school, and he was having trouble with dealing with, and this is when he was very young, dealing with school and so forth. So we pulled him out of school. We found a program. Actually, we went to a seminar down at Dell State, and we found this program that was perfect for him. And we homeschooled him for 3 years until we felt he was ready to go back into school system again. So homeschooling is a great thing to do, but you gotta, you know, you gotta have focused kids, and you gotta stay focused, because right. If you're not doing the lesson plans and you're not doing the things that they lay out for you in the homeschool program, because the program's a little bit different now than when I did it, because they were more structured, and we had, you know, when I say lesson plans, we were pretty much following the same type of lesson plans that your teachers were following in school.
Gotcha.
You know, and we even had to take day trips and take trips, to just like the kids would go on field trips and so forth. Mm-hmm. We had to do field trips and everything. So that's how closely we followed with the school system. But yeah, it was interesting. But, you know, for these two kids to be able to accomplish what they accomplished is really a great thing. Is this something that you would do if you had the opportunity to do that with your kids? Would you, especially if you felt, because they said that it was something I read that he, at 2 years old, was already reading at 2 years old or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought I saw that in the story that he was reading. Let's see that. This kid was really smart. I mean, you know, but would you do something like that with your kids if you knew that, if you kind of got the feeling that this kid, that your kid was already, above the chart, you know, as far as the reading charts and everything like that? Would you try to?
Probably not. Like nah. Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of homeschool. Well, I'm sorry. For the average kid, I'm not a big fan of homeschool. So, like, when I think about my kids right now, they already spend enough time in their rooms and on electronics. And I feel like that, you know, they need that interaction of going to school and having, because what I have noticed, a couple people who I have known who did homeschool, they didn't have a lot of friends. So, you know, I just think, like, okay, for my son or daughter, you know, in these formative years of high school, if they don't need to, you know, I'd rather them be at school where they're seeing different kids every day and making friends and, you know, learning how to relate to people and be around people and, you know, all that. What about you?
Yeah, well, it's funny that you just said that. I guess nowadays, with all of the distractions and everything, I definitely agree with you. I understand why you just said what you just said. Like, I think back to when we were doing it with my son, and at the time, my son was not around a lot of other kids at that particular time. So yes, it was, you know, it was easier for us to do it because he didn't know anything else at that time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know better.
So you didn't know any better. And then when we finally got him back into school, you know, he was able to adjust. Matter of fact, there was like two or three guys that he latched onto, and they're still friends to this day. You know what I mean? So, and they kind of carried each other through school, you know, mm-hmm. So, but I guess I understand what you're saying, and especially with all the distractions and all the stuff that goes on now with social media and the bullying and all that kind of stuff. But then also being able to pick the friend, be able to understand who you should make, you know, who you should friend, who you not friend,
right?
Who you want to, you know, the crowds that you might want to be a part of or the groups that you might want to be a part of. So those things do come into play because you always worry about it. With these two children, the adjustments they made when they went to college. How badly did they stick out while they were there? Because you heard me talk about the kid and some of the, you know, challenges that he had. I'm mm-hmm. sure he had a bunch more that they're not talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And he was only 15 years old. And I'm sure there must have been people that might have, you know, teased him and stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. I mean, maybe they're, you know, I don't know if I would do it if my kid was all, you know, my kid was high on the spectrum as far as, you know, educational, you know, his educational outlook look.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably do some things to try to make sure that he was performing on his level.
Right.
And not on the levels of everybody else. Because, of course, I can see how, like this kid said, he didn't say the B word, which is the bored word, but I'm sure he got bored with a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so. But it's just interesting. But I just thought it was a noteworthy story because it is a big accomplishment, and this kid ain't playing around. He wants to be a cardiologist, and he's been thinking about being a doctor since he was 8 years old.
And Dave, can you imagine going to the doctor for surgery? And some young 20-year-old, 19-year-old comes out and be like, okay. And in fact, maybe voice still cracking, you know, a little bit of acne in the face. Like,
sounding like my man on Steve Harvey, what's his name?
Junior?
Junior, sounding like Junior on Steve Harvey. You know how they always getting him about Junior, need to get some bass in that voice, man. You need to get some bass in that voice, you know. So, it's going to be interesting. I'm sure we'll hear about it when he becomes a cardiologist. I'm sure we'll hear about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so. But just want to say big ups to our guy there, and hopefully he, Mr. Duniel, and I hope he accomplishes everything that he sets up to, and also his sister, too. Even though they don't mention her name in the story, but they just mm-hmm. say, "Oh, I got a 19-year-old sister that's graduated too." Yeah, she's 19 though. She's, you know,
right.
She's old. You know, to graduate. You know,
her name is Gabrielle. I see it in another article.
Yeah, Gabrielle. You seen it in another article.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gabrielle, big ups to you, Gabrielle. Don't let your little brother steal all the shine. Okay. All right. So, all right. Let's see. We're going to move on to our next story. It's funny. You and I talked about this a little bit a while ago. Remember, we mm-hmm. were talking about the Black News Network. And we also, And do you remember me calling it saying who I thought should buy the news network? Do you remember that?
Did you say him?
Yes, I did. Okay. I said it seemed like somebody like Byron Allen which should have stepped in to save him. You don't remember? Go play the tape. I remember saying it. So what, when I saw this story,
what,
I said,
what episode number was it? What episode number?
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
No, I'm just joking.
Okay. I don't know. But I'll find it if I had to. I'll find it, you know. But Byron Allen, it's funny. Byron Allen kind of had a couple eyes, hasn't he? You know, because he first came up as a comedian and, you know, and he, you know, well, he called himself a comedian. I never thought he was very funny, but that's a whole other story. But he did a little bit of acting and so forth. And then he started becoming this, like, big-time multimedia person, and right. You know, this guy owned a little bit of everything, the Weather Channel and all kinds of different stations and so forth. So now Leonard and I did a story not too long ago talking about how the Black News Channel was going off the air because they didn't have a lot of support. People were not tuning in. It was only around 2 years, and you know, people just felt bad that it went away, but nobody did anything about it. It was back in March, I think, that happened, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was earlier this year.
Yeah, it was earlier this year, and I remember you and I talking about it, and I was like, you know, you would think that, you know, something like that would have been able to be saved, that somebody should have stepped in. And, you know, we talked about a couple people that we thought should have stepped in. I think LeBron was mentioned, that type of person. So somebody with some money. In comes Byron Allen. And Byron Allen said he was kind of upset when he saw this whole thing happen. And he couldn't believe that nobody could save it, you know, and that there's no way that this news network should have folded like it did because of something that he felt was needed. When I look at the bid that he put in for it, does that seem a little low to you?
It seems low as hell. I mean, I'm looking at it now. I'm like, Dave, like, we probably could have got 100 people together to each put in, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, that number, I'm actually surprised. And in the article I see, it says that he was the only bidder for it. Did you see that too?
Yeah, I saw that. That's probably why it was so low too. He probably didn't have to go against anybody. The bid, by the way, people, worth $11 million. I don't know. This seems low.
I mean, that seems like
he went in his pocket and just pulled it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I mean, Byron Allen's a billionaire, right? Is he a billionaire?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean,
close to it.
So I mean, $11 million is a drop in the bucket. And it also says, so when the owner of the Jaguars bought it, Shad Khan, he invested about $50 million into the Black News Channel. So the good thing about the Black News Channel now is it already has a little bit of a brand behind it. You know, they already have, you know, so I'm like, coming in with that $11 million, Dave, if I had $11 million, I would get it too. I don't know quite what I would do with it, but I mean, $11 million sounds like a steal.
With Byron Allen investing in it, I'm sure he's going to get some heavy hitters to come and get involved. You know, because he's been successful in pretty much everything that he does. And, you know, apparently when they closed up shop back in March, they had a staff of 230 people. Majority of them were people of color. And everybody was let go at that time. So I'm sure that Byron Allen will get, you know, will be able to get people to come on and do what he needs them to do in order to get this back up and running and get it done right, you know, because it seems like everything that he touches, you know, seems to turn to gold, you know?
Right. Plus,
I just thought it was, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so with the Black News Channel, they say that the main reason it went out of business is because they weren't able to get the advertisers, sponsorship dollars, all that. So, you know, of course, Brian Allen owns like 100 network stations. So I'm sure, you know, capitalizing off the advertisers that they already have for some of those, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS affiliates, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, this is probably a no-brainer for him. Like, I don't know who else we said would be good candidates, but I can't think of a better candidate to make this work than him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's been a smart guy all these years. You know, a lot of people used to, I remember back in the day, a lot of people used to make fun of him. They used to call him the black white guy, you know, and all that stuff. The white black guy, I should say. And, you know, because he was, you know, he was different from everybody else. Now, I remember, because I've watched Byron Allen for years. I mean, I remember when he came up. And, but he was always making these moves behind the scene that nobody knew he was making, you know? And the next thing you know, you start looking up stuff and Byron Allen owns this, Byron Allen owns that. When I saw that he owned the Weather Channel, I said, he owns the Weather Channel?
Right.
You know, that type of thing, you know? So, I mean, you know, so he's a smart man. If anybody can turn this around, make it something positive, make it happen, Byron Allen can do it. And I'm sure that you're going to see some big time celebrities get involved. You're probably going to see, look, he's probably going to turn that. If he was smart, he could probably turn it into like a black ESPN type thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll be watching this. And you know, especially since I got my money on Byron, you know,
I'll just say the other thing that's kind of weird about it too, is even though they went into bankruptcy, I don't know if you ever watch it, but every once in a while I'll flip past the BNC, the Black News Channel, and they still have current programming on there. You know, they may have taken some of their heavy hitters off, but I mean, right. if you go on there, there's still, you know, black programming on there, which is, you know, fairly recent with the current events.
Okay. All right. So, I haven't checked lately. So I didn't know that they still had some shows on there, but that's good. So they probably was thinking to themselves, somebody's going to probably get involved. So yeah, Let's keep it going.
Right.
So, but that's good. That's good. Well, we'll see what happens with this particular channel, and seeing if we can get this to be something that we all start to pay attention to, and that we all invest in as far as, you know, watching and so forth, you know, so. All right, and let's move on to our next story there.
Yep, so, you know, our last story is really just for, you know, speaking points, but I saw this post on Twitter either yesterday or the day before, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and then I'll just give some context around it. So the post says, I got my friend a job. Now I got to fire his ass tomorrow. You won't believe why. This MMF rides with me every day and is about to get fired for being late too many times. Even though he's there an hour early every day, I'm hot. Or, you know, like I'm hot about it. The second part of it kind of gives an explanation. So it says, I start at 5 o'clock every day. He starts at 6 o'clock. Every morning we get there at 4:45 a.m. And he would go into the gym to do a workout. And then this king would take an hour cat nap, except his ass would oversleep. Nails a wrap. So, you know, they, like, when I was reading that, you know, I just thought about all the times I've given a referral of somebody for a job or for, you know, a product or service, and then they kind of disappoint. And now, you know, the person I've referred them to looking at me like, okay, well, why would you refer this person? But, you know, I think this is one of the areas we probably hear this the most with jobs, because, you know, I mean, we have friends, but we never know people's work habits. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, we'll vouch for people because we know them as, you know, whatever our interaction is, but then they get on a job late, they're rude, they're just not getting it, you know, no motivation, you know, all those things. Have you ever had any situation where you referred people for jobs or services and they kind of let you down and the person you referred them to kind of came back to you?
It's happened a couple times in the past. I've gotten wise to it, though, because nowadays, Leonard, probably I've written a ton of references for people. I mean, it's I used to teach professional services and, and professional development. And, you know, so it's something that I was always passionate about but also learning somebody's character, learning how they do things or whatever, especially people that you might have worked with at one time. And they come to you, ask you for a reference. Not everybody can get a reference from me, Leonard. I don't care how well you know me, you know, because I'll be honest with you, I've been pretty successful with, if I give somebody a reference for a job, there's a great chance they're going to get the job. If it's somebody I believe in, that letter is going to say a lot, you know, right. Or if I have to fill out, you know, one of those reference emails, it's going to say a lot, you know, or something like that. So, but I only do that for people I believe in. Now, right. If somebody comes to me and says, Dave, can you be a reference for me? And I know you, ain't going to do a good job. You know, I mean, like, what's the job for? I will ask.
Yeah.
Then I say, and I said this recently, so if this person ever hears the show, they're going to know what happened. I'm going to tell you right. That. Yeah. I did this recently. So the person, me and this person is real cool. I ain't going to lie. We're really cool. But there's something wrong with your work performance or job performance if you've had 10 jobs in the last 10 years. Okay, something's not right. You know what I mean? Now, 10, you know, you've had 10 jobs. You can't tell me that one of those jobs you couldn't make work for a long time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, and a couple of them I've written references for. Okay, they got the job. So I did find out that the last job I did a reference for, I found out why he got fired. Okay. So this dude was going around stealing people's lunches out of the refrigerators.
He was hungry. This dude
was sitting there and would sit there and eat the food in front of the people and then deny it wasn't there. Oh, no, my girl made this for me this morning and stuff like that. He would get people to do his work for him while he'd be somewhere asleep, because there was a lounge that they had, an employee lounge. He'd be in the employee lounge, knocked out, you know, those type of things. And he just got comfortable on this job.
Mm-hmm.
One of his buddies told me that he doesn't know I know what happened, you know, so why he got fired. So I said, oh, okay. Well, I won't be writing any references for him anymore. So when he came to me about a job that he wanted to get, he said, Dave, can you write a reference for me? No, that's not what he did. He said, Dave, I gave your name as a reference. They're going to send you a reference check for this job. He said, can you get, you know, when you get it, can you take care of it? And I just kind of chuckled. I said, what's the job for? He told me it was for a supervisor position with this company, which he's been a supervisor before. And I started laughing. I said, okay. I said to myself, he don't need to be nobody's supervisor, you know, and he ain't going to do the job. So when the reference came, I told the truth, you know, and he got fair marks basically all through the reference. Because I wasn't going to lie.
So when you say you told the truth, can you give me an example of a question that they asked that you were honest.
I'll give you an example of two. Would you say this guy was a very productive worker, and they gave this grading scale, you know, one being, you know, the lowest, high, five being the highest, you know, I gave him a two.
And this was based on what you heard at his last job, but not as you know.
And plus what I know about him. Plus I know what he knows. You know, I know gotcha. A lot about his work history. And then the big question was, you know, because, of course, he told these people he worked for me, you know, because you know how people lie about this stuff, yeah. You know, and that I was his supervisor. And they asked me, the question, would I hire him back if I had to chance it? And you know what I said?
Nope.
No. I don't think he worked. I don't think it would be a good fit to bring him back here.
All right, so Dave, you know your phone's gonna be ringing about 9 o'clock tonight.
Like, I think he already knows. I think he already knows because I've gone to the well too many times for that person. I can't do it again.
All right, so let me ask a follow up question. So if he came to you and said he put your name down as a reference, would it be better? And I know it's a harder conversation to have, but would it be better just to say, hey, I don't think I'm a good person to give a reference for you? Because, you know, let's say the job was borderline. Once they speak to you, like, you know he's not getting that job.
Well, but that's what pissed me off, because he didn't come to me.
He didn't ask.
He'd already given my name. He gave my name already because he knew he figured I was going to do it. So that upset me too.
Gotcha.
I was like, you already told him. He said, yeah, I already gave your name. They're going to send you, you know, the doohickey. That's what he always said, the doohickey.
The doohickey.
And then you just fill it out. You just fill it out and send it back to him. I said, okay. That's what I said, okay. And I filled it out and I sent it back to him. That's what I did. So, I don't know, you know, I don't think he got the job. I haven't heard that he got the job. So, I don't know how many references he had to have. So,
right.
But I know the one I did wasn't going to get him the job. So, now maybe the other people, if he had to have more than one, maybe the other people might have pushed him over the hump. But I haven't talked to him. So, maybe there's a reason I haven't talked to him. I don't know.
Right. So, gotcha. You
know, so, but. I've done so many references, Leonard, over the years and trying to help people out because I've been in position to do that. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be on jobs that people, you know, respect me. Like, you know, I've been a part of the hiring, firing process in a lot of the jobs I've been in. And so people tend to trust my opinion with those type of things. But you come to me because we have a relationship and you say, you know, can you help me out? You know, and now we have a conversation. I'm going to say, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't get involved in this. Maybe I'm not the right person. You know, sometimes when you work too closely with somebody, you know, it doesn't work out that well.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So, and so I would have a conversation similar to that. Because I've been in that situation before as well. Just like this guy in the story that you talk about. He hires his boy. He gets his boy hired. And his boy is taking advantage of the situation. How are you going to get there an hour before time?
Right.
This dude gets there. He's only 15 minutes early because he gets there at 4:45. They get there at 4:45. He goes right to work. The other dude's going in the gym. Worked out for half an hour, I guess.
Right. Then goes try to take a nap.
Takes a nap and oversleeps a half an hour. Because that's what it sounds like he's doing.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of mess is that? You know, I don't know what type of environment they work in and whatever. But yeah, when you start messing with a person's reputation, that's not good. You know, and that's what it is. I mean, you know, I've had two of my sons to work. And, you know, I've gotten both my son's jobs in the past, you know, and the first conversation I have with them once they start, look, don't mess up my name. because, you know, they ain't going to come to you. They're going to come to me.
Right.
If they come to you, it's for one purpose, that you're done. So that's, you know, so you don't want that pressure. Have you written references for a lot of people?
Not a few. And to be honest, I mean, I can't think of anyone who has specifically come back, you know, having done a bad enough job that they kind of bring my name back up. But I mean, it's possible. And, you know, hopefully on the flip side, hopefully no one ever gave my name as a referral. And I was that person that they came back to the referrer, like, man, that guy, Leonard.
I never forget. I did a reference one time. I did take a risk one time. I did a reference with a young lady when I was teaching at Dawn. She was a medical assistant. And she was a fair student. I mean, she wasn't the best student. But one thing I always loved about her, she tried hard. Like, mm-hmm. She was definitely in it to win it. She just had processed things a little slower than everybody else, or a little bit differently than everybody else. And it just, she had to work a little harder than the people that were in the class with her. You know what I mean?
Right.
But she had her effort was like incredible. She was not going to let anything defeat her. She would stay after class sometimes to try to get the assignments done and stuff like that. So I got it, you know? So we did a mock interview. Her mock interview was just okay, you know? Mm-hmm. And I gave her some pointers on how to improve her interview, her presence and so forth. And she wrote down everything I said, and she started working on it. I told her about practicing in the mirror and all that type of stuff, video, you know, doing video recordings of herself, doing interviews. And she did everything I told her about. So she passes the test to get, after she took the test about two or three times, but she finally passes the test to become a certified medical assistant. Took about 3 or 4 months, and then one day she came running into school saying that she had an interview with Christiana Care, which was her dream job. She wanted to either work for Christiana or New Moores. And so she said, "Mr. Coker, can you help me with this? I need help with this," and so forth. So we're going through, and I'm like, you know, we're practicing and whatever, and I'm just like, you know, I'm like I said, I worked hard with her to try to get her ready for this interview letter. And I just prayed that she would go into this interview with everything that I told her. She goes into the interview. She calls me up a couple of days later and tells me that how everything went. You know, she felt that she did a great job and so forth. Make a long story short. And I wrote a letter of reference for her. Now, I wrote the letter thinking to myself, what if she falls flat on her face as a medical assistant at Christiana? And the person she interviewed was somebody I knew. So mm-hmm. I was like, man, this is going to come back on me. I know it. That girl ended up, man, getting that job. She went in there, did very well, outperformed everybody in her class, her new hire class and everything. And now she is a supervisor there of medical assistants there now and doing very well, man. And I ran into her. Remember when the last time I was in the hospital with the blood clot, she was there that night.
Gotcha.
And I hadn't seen her in a while or talked to her in a while. And she saw me and she came running over to me. She said, "Mr. Coker, it's me." And I said, "Oh my God," you know, I knew what it was right away. And she told me everything that had happened, you know, and that she was a manager and everything now. So it was one of those situations that worked out, you know. So, but I could tell she just had effort, you right. know, and that she was, you know. So that was a risk that I didn't mind taking, you know? So, because I figured it would pay off. It paid off in my class. I figured it would pay off whatever she did. So, you know, but this situation, yeah, bro. Gotta let that dude go.
Yeah, he ain't about it.
Yeah, bro, you gotta go. You gotta go. So, go sleep somewhere else. So, but yeah, I tell you, we folks, this is the world we live in. This is how people do us these days. So, you know, thank God. I don't have to write any references for Leonard, and Leonard ain't got to write any references for me. Yes. You know, so
Don't worry, Dave.
Yeah, another one day. I know one day.
Yeah, so, well, you know, as soon as they have that that state job that's part time, weekends off, you know, overtime on the part time, you know, paid vacations, healthcare, and remote. I'm going to be hitting you up for that. Referral.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you can get some of that. You ain't getting all of it. I'll tell you that now. So But anyway. You guys have been listening to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. Tell us if you liked anything you heard today, if you had any comments on anything that you heard today. Usually we always get a couple of comments about stories that they've heard and so forth. So we want to say, we want to encourage you to go to our Facebook page, or you can go to Podbean, or you know, just send us a message and let us know what you're thinking. Also, keep in mind, for those that are looking to promote or advertise things they got going on, please feel free to reach out to us about those things, because we can definitely work out something for you that we can promote your business or promote your events or whatever that you might have going on. And of course, for a small fee, of course, you know, so, but we just want to let you know that we do have those opportunities for those that want to do that. Okay. Anything you want to add, Lynn?
No, you know, I just want to wish everybody a good week. Stay safe. I would say stay warm, but stay cool. And, you know, make sure you tune us in on Friday, 8 p.m. for our second show of the week, the weekend roundup.
Okay. That's Lynn Simmons, by the way, Russell Simmons' little
Lynn
brother.
Simmons.
You know, you know, so, yes, definitely tune in for the weekend roundup. And next Tuesday, we're looking forward to having a good friend of ours come on. So definitely stay tuned for that, Mr. Dave Woolley. If you don't know anything about Dave Woolley, tune into the show, because you're going to be shocked to hear some of the things that you didn't know about this young man. So we look forward to having him on. So with that being said, we are going to say good night. Thank you for listening to News and Trends, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.